Yes, it's Health Naturally, and I'm joined by the wonderful Dennis Stewart for a Friday again. Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hello, my dear. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
That's
now,
good.
Dennis, in previous programs, you have been talking about the famous herbs astragalus, echinacea, and last week, golden seal.
Yes.
Today, you're going to tell us about three herbs that you would rank as the most famous, in your opinion. What are they, and why do you consider them famous?
First of all, I should couch my comments by saying this is my opinion on the three most famous herbs, and that's perhaps very biased. But what I want to do today is to talk about herbs that we may have mentioned on and off over the years on this program in various contexts. But today I want to present them as more important than perhaps what many listeners have hitherto understood. I want to talk about the herb ginseng and its incredible importance for our health. Now, that's a big word, incredible, but I believe that. I want to talk also about the remarkable but frequently overlooked and misunderstood herb known as hawthorn berry. And then I want to talk about probably the most famous herb and herbal development subsequent to the Second World War, and that is the modern preparation of the herb ginkgo biloba. Look, they're very exciting herbs to talk about. Each one of them has a unique contribution, I believe, to human health and well-being. We looked at astragalus and its background as a major immunosupportive herb, particularly in Chinese herbal medicine, but now increasingly in Western herbal medicine. We looked at the remarkable echinacea, probably the standby and most famous herb in the American selection. And by the way, listeners might be interested to know that echinacea now, if you have it, is starting to put its head above the ground. My three different species of echinacea, which I have in pots as an experiment, are all of a sudden showing their colours, and that's exciting. So for those who are interested in what I said about echinacea a few weeks ago, go to your nursery, see if they stock echinacea, any species, have a go at growing it. It's a beautiful plant, but it's also beautifully therapeutic. We also spoke about golden seal. A lot of interest shown by listeners in golden seal, more than not what I would have thought. And it suddenly dawned on me that there are many listeners to our discussions over the years that are probably as much interested in growing and propagating herbs as well as perhaps using them. A classic example of that yesterday in my rooms at New Lambton, a gentleman there who is a great gardener and a great small farmer and is interested in doing what is popular in the United States, and that is becoming a cash crop grower, growing particularly the American selection, and golden seal was one that he was interested in. But today I want to start by having an interesting look at the herb ginseng.
Mark from Whitebridge has done. Hi, Mark. How can we help you?
I just wanted to see if Dennis knew anything about small fibre neuropathy and has he got any herbs or whatever I could take to relieve the symptoms.
Mark, it's your condition, is it?
Yes, okay. And I've pinpointed it back to like a week after I got my COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
I seen my doctor and I said, I've got this little thing under the ball of my front right foot.
Yes.
It feels like a socks bunched up.
Yes, yes.
And then it just got, over the years, which has been a few years now, it's got worse and worse and worse.
Yes.
And I tried to do all the vitamin Bs and alpha lipoic acids and all those.
Yeah.
And then finally now I'm on Lyrica.
Okay.
And
Mark,
I
might surprise you or may not surprise you when I say that your, how can I call it, your response to the vaccination, the adverse effect of it, well, presumably it was an adverse effect from the vaccination. In my situation as a practitioner of unusual medicine, I have seen quite a few people who have experienced neurological side effects associated from the vaccine. Now, I'm not going to elaborate on it. It is too controversial. All that I know is that I have seen people. I think of one gentleman that has presented to see me, who very intelligent man. His daughter, in fact, is a specialist medical practitioner in the city, and he has a great empathy and sympathy for the mainstream medicine, as I do. But he, 2 days after he claims 2 days after he received the vaccination, he developed convulsive type of symptoms, and his specialist, according to him, interpreted it as the beginning of Parkinson's disease. Now, this I'm not going to enter into the debate on whether this story is correct, whether his story is correct or not. The man is an intelligent, educated man who has no reason to put himself in the situation of saying that if it wasn't a reality, particularly as he says his neurologist diagnosed it and encouraged him, in fact, at this early stage to look for some of the alternatives that may be in existence, one of them being vitamin B1 therapy, which listeners probably don't know much about, but it is very well known, particularly in Europe, as a therapy to use in some states of that condition. So your condition, I want to just say that your condition, I have no problem in seeing it as being an unusual, and I'll use that term to protect myself, an unusual side effect of the vaccination. I'm not opposing the vaccination. I had the vaccination myself. I was obliged to, otherwise I would not be able to practice. I'll say no more about that. I understand what you have been using, and I've not seen a great deal of result coming from that. I'm going to throw in two things, and look, they're probably very hypothetical. The first thing is there's, and you can Google this, there's a significant amount of encouragement in the herb known as lion's mane. Now, that has some what are called neurotropic properties about it, which are perhaps encouraging. That's all I'm saying about...
I tried that, Dennis.
Oh, have you? Okay.
I've given just about... I've spent thousands of dollars and to no avail, and I've had to go to the hard drugs as such pregabalin. Okay. That's the only thing that's calmed the nerves.
Yeah, look, I understand that. If you've got this neuropathic condition, I can understand you'll do anything to get relief from it.
Yes.
Now, look, the second approach I prefer not to mention on radio, but if you were to contact me or ring my rooms, I would give you a reference to look at with a left field approach that has been used to address these considered consequences. I say considered because I'm only presenting these as hypotheses, but the second approach is very controversial. I don't want to mention it on radio, but the evidence from the text that I will refer you to is quite significant. Give me a ring.
Well, I'll give it a go, that's for sure.
Give me a ring in my rooms. I'm there particularly on Thursday, and let my receptionist know who you are, and I'm expecting a call from you. It's exciting. But again, I say to listeners, I'm in no way, how can I call it, an antagonist to vaccination therapy.
My doctor said exactly the same, and I asked him the question, how many other patients have you had?
And I think that if all therapists are straight down the line, many would say that they've had quite a few, particularly with neurological conditions. The other condition that I've seen a lot also is some of the cardiac conditions. But look, we could talk about this all day. I'm interested in trying to help you. I'm interested that you have done some reading and work on lion's mane. I'd like to make a contribution to that by discussing a situation like time span, dosage, the product preparation. You can talk to me on a conversation we have, and then I'll follow it up by making this recommendation that might surprise you, but it won't when you look at the reference.
I'll give it a go. Thank you very much, Dennis. Appreciate it.
All the best, Mark. Awesome.
Thanks very much, Mark. Appreciate the call. Okay, next on the line we've got Kathleen from Rutherford. Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for calling.
Hello. How are you going?
Well, thank you, Kathleen. How can we help you, my dear?
Well, I just was listening, and then when I was talking to your receptionist, I didn't hear the rest of your conversation. I have neuropathy.
Yes.
After I had one COVID shot, I'm allergic to it, so I couldn't have any more.
Yes.
And I'm taking gabapentin.
Yes.
Which is, I'd rather not take.
Yes.
So I didn't hear the rest of your conversation to that lovely gentleman, what you suggested that he should take. Plus, I have another question about ginkgo biloba and ginkgo brougham. So, yep.
Ginkgo, what was it, ginkgo?
I take ginkgo brougham because I have a heart condition and I was told I couldn't take the ginkgo biloba.
I've never heard of that species.
Really?
Is it a proprietary product, is it?
I get it from the chemist, Blackmores, ginkgo brougham.
Okay, Blackmores make excellent products. I'll be honest with you, I know a lot about the ginkgo. I gave the first lectures on it in this country.
Yes, I heard you talk about it, yeah.
But look, what I suggest you do is ring me on Thursday at my New Lambton number, because I'll be quite happy to pass on to you what I'm going to pass on to the previous gentleman with that problem.
Right.
It's interesting that you have confirmed
what
I have seen, and therefore I will go out of my way, even if it is a bit radical, to suggest that there may be some hope.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right, Kathleen.
Thanks
you contact
very
much.
Me. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye. We have Sue from Elibana. Hi, Sue. How can we help you?
Hi. I hope you can help me. My husband has had shingles. And he's been left with a horrific pain. He had it round his middle, and the pain just won't go away.
Okay.
He's very immune suppressed. He only finished radiation a week before he got the shingles.
Oh, dear. So shingles is a virus, and if his immune system had been depressed, that's probably what's fed the condition. But never mind. He's now got a try. How long ago did he have it, Sue?
He's had the shingles pain for 8 weeks now.
Okay. Look.
The rash is gone. The pigmentation is still there, but the rash is gone.
He has what's called technically post-herpetic neuralgia, which is a difficult condition. Sometimes it will resolve itself over time. Other times it will just linger for a long period of time at a subacute level. Look, all that I would suggest is... he have a talk with his doctor or pharmacist about using some Zostrix, ZOST.
We've tried that.
Okay.
Yes, we've tried that.
There's a couple of strengths of it. Did he use the high strength one?
Yes, he did. Yes.
Okay. Was he able to tolerate it?
Yes, he tolerated it. Okay. Yes.
How long did he use it for, Sue?
Probably about 10 days.
Yeah. Look, that. Talk to his pharmacist.
He's on pregabalin as well.
Yeah, okay. And he's been on that.
And that upsets everything else.
That's correct. He's been on that a fair while. I would suggest, I wouldn't throw in the towel yet with what I've mentioned, because it's a topical preparation and it shouldn't therefore clash with his history or whatever else he's taking. I wouldn't toss that in, because I know a lot about Zostrix is based on. It's based on an extract of capsicum. Sometimes it takes a while for the effect of a capsicum on the nerve endings to begin to give some indication. So long as it's not irritating him or causing any eczema or dermatitis or anything like that, talk to the doctor and talk to the pharmacist about persevering with it a bit longer, because outside of that, there's not a lot that's available with the reputation that is soundly based on science, using preparations based on what's called the oleoresin of capsicum. I think he might have pulled the plug, because let me just tell you quickly that with any capsicum-based preparation, it doesn't do its job immediately, even when it starts to have a benefit. If it does that, that benefit will stop if the application of it ceases. So it tends to grow on you before it can affect the transmission of pain, and it needs to be worked with in order to maintain any benefit that it's got from it. Talk with your pharmacist. I think he might have pulled the plug a little bit early, Sue.
Too early, yeah.
Give it
now,
a go.
What about that treatment that you just told the last two callers about that had the neuropathy pain in their feet?
Theirs was associated with quite a different situation. Yours comes from a herpes virus, and quite a different approach.
Right, okay then. But well, thanks very much for
that. Give it a go, Sue. Give it a go.
And I'll keep doing it for longer than what.
Well, talk to your pharmacist too.
Yes.
Because our pharmacists are frontline therapists, and we, in my opinion, we underuse them for health advice. Go and have a yarn with him.
Okay, thanks very much, Sue. Thanks for your call. Next on the line, we have Peter from Merriweather. Hi, Peter. How can we help you?
G'day, Dennis.
Hello, Peter.
I had a back operation, S1-5. I had a certain amount of pins put in my back.
Yes.
And what's happened is I've ended up worse than what I started off with. And I ended up with neuropathy across my back, into my hips, and then down the nerve down the side of the right and left hand of my leg into my feet.
Oh, dear, dear.
And I've tried everything, but the left leg's not so bad anymore, but the right leg and the foot in particular, if I walk on it for long periods of time, swells up on the pad underneath. Mm. And I was wondering if there's, because I've tried just about everything, but I don't take hard drugs. I don't like Lyrica and I don't like Cyclexia. I don't like anything that I get from the pharmacy because it really doesn't do any good, makes it worse actually. So I was wondering what you could do for me.
Okay. I'll throw in something here that's a bit left field. I remember treating or helping a gentleman that came down from Tamworth to see me, an elderly gentleman who had had a procedure that doctors would understand, the removal of a pheochromocytoma. That's a very rare benign tumour on the adrenal gland, very rare, but can be life-threatening. But it's benign. It's the effect that it has on blood pressure that is the dangerous thing. He had the old procedure, which was quite a hefty one. My wife, interestingly, is one of the 1 in 2 million that had a pheochromocytoma. And the surgeon, who was a good surgeon on the Central Coast, said that he'd only ever done one before, and that was done with the old technique. He would try to use the new technique, which bypassed some of the very demanding surgery and side effect possibility, and he used keyhole surgery. And my wife had a brilliant recovery, a very brilliant operation from a brilliant surgeon. And she was left with no ramifications. In your situation, it is somewhat similar, a pretty big, perhaps medical procedure. What I suggested to this gentleman, and he'd already started using it, was that I suggest that he talk about and getting from his doctor a script for cannabis, medical cannabis. Now,
Dennis, I just started using that about a month ago.
Okay.
So I'm on the CBD oil.
Yes.
I can't take the next one up because obviously I'm still working.
Yes.
To lose your license.
Well,
and I'm also on a vape.
Yes,
which tends to help me sleep.
Yep.
But it doesn't fix the problem.
Okay. Again here, without wanting to be tedious, I wouldn't throw in the towel because this gentleman had such a brilliant result using medical cannabis, but he was reluctant to use it in what he considered to be an illegal form. I'm not going to get into the debate about that, but he did try it with great results. It was the only thing that gave him any relief from his neuropathy, which was the byproduct of that surgical procedure. Look, I think you need to work with it a bit longer.
Okay.
Are you getting a script for it, or are you just buying it independently?
My doctor just basically, he gave me a, not so much a script, but he gave me the paperwork, and I went to a little place in Carrington.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And I spoke to them about it, and they started me off in the basics of it. And the vape works very well.
It does it? You found help from that?
Yes, and so I have that just about now before I go to bed.
Yes.
And it tends to settle me down to sleep.
Okay.
And I take the oil as well then. But as I said, I've only been doing it for about a month, and I have had some success, but obviously I should keep going with long term.
Look, what I would invite you to do, again, because I don't want to sort of open up a discussion on legality versus illegality and all this sort of thing. But
yeah.
I have gone on record years ago as saying that I am a proponent of the medical use of cannabis sativa. I have studied it. I have lectured on it. It is well known in the pharmacopoeias as to dosage, etc. Contact me in my rooms, and I'll mention a couple of things and sources of information that might be of benefit for you, particularly with reference to your use of this herb.
Okay. Well, I'll come over Thursday.
Okay.
I'm not far from you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll be quite happy to see if I can help you use medical cannabis more effectively, perhaps, and
yes, that'd be great.
Keeping within the right parameters.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much, Dennis.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Peter. Bye-bye. Have a good day. This is Health Naturally. We're touching on all the controversial topics today, Dennis.
That would probably be my last program.
We'll try and get back to ginseng, hawthornberry, and ginkgo biloba.
I notice there's a couple of grey-suited gentlemen out there with handcuffs.
Oh, let's hope not. We have Megan from East Maitland on the line. Hi, Megan. How can we help you?
Hi, how are you going? I just wanted to find out if there was perhaps something that that might be able to be recommended for traumatic brain injuries.
Yeah. Look, Megan, you would understand that that's a condition that is traumatic. And he'd be on any medication, is he?
Yeah, he's on medication for... for the headaches that he suffers, and medications to help him sleep. I'm not exactly sure of the names of those medications.
Okay.
Okay,
look, I'll throw in some herbs which are frequently recommended by our profession to improve cognitive activity, but in your son's condition, they may have no effect whatsoever, but it is worthwhile, in my opinion, certainly, certainly discussing them with your doctor, because they are pretty well. One of them, the herb known as ginkgo biloba, you can write that down. You can Google it and see the very diverse properties that it has. One of which is its ability to improve and sustain cognitive activity, particularly more particularly in people that are elderly and ageing. But there's an explanation on how it does that, which in the scientific literature, which might be useful for you to Google and attempt to read it. It has its limitations. If a person or a patient is on blood thinners, it would have to be used quite cautiously. But in Europe, it is used as a medicinal substance, a medicinal herb. Keep in mind that in Europe, many of the herbs that I talk about are part and parcel of mainstream medical prescribing. And in Europe, ginkgo would be prescribed for some levels of cognitive deficiency. Whether that would extend to your son's condition, I am not sure, but it could be looked at and discussed with either your doctor, if he knows anything about it or is interested in it, or certainly your pharmacist, whom, as I said before, these days very, very well versed in the pharmacology of natural drugs. The second thing that I would say is, and I mentioned earlier, the herb lion's mane, Google it, has multiple neurological benefits. And I'm sure in the papers that I've got, there is some mention there of its usefulness for conditions that are referred to as cognitive decline. Now, whether that applies to your son or not, I'm not sure. I suspect not, but it's worthwhile looking at. It's a very, 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 very safe herb. They're the two. The third one is particularly recommended for elderly people whose cognitive decline can sometimes be quite distressing, and that is the herb known as Panax ginseng. But I don't think it would be as likely specific or as useful, potentially useful, as the two herbs that I mentioned earlier.
Right.
I would say go down the pathway of that. And look, if you don't get anywhere, don't leave it. My argument is one fights against conditions till the very day we die. And I found in my many, many years of practicing what you might call left field medicine, or some would call quackery, not as much these days as what it was 40 years ago, but I have found that what has hitherto been considered to be impossible to improve or treat sometimes remarkably defies that. So
I
encourage you to keep batting, and if you want to email me, well, I'll be happy to answer your email. I'd be interested to see what response was after you've spoken to the people that would be the ones that would want to legitimatise the prescribing of it and monitor it.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much.
See how you go.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Megan. Bye. Okay, next on the line we have Greg from Rutherford. Hi, Greg.
How are you?
Hello, Greg.
Thank you. You've got some cellulitis on your ankle?
Yes, I just came out of hospital about 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Dennis, I'm wondering, is it a permanent condition? Can the skin heal?
Well, cellulitis, as you know, is a nasty infection. It can be life-threatening if it's not well managed. That is the reason why you were hospitalised and pumped up with antibiotics. But cellulitis can come and go. I know of some of my friends that have had a couple of episodes, and in fact, I have made recommendations to people that get it, if you like, frequently, not there all the time, but frequently. And those recommendations, I think, first of all, would be to help resist the onset of infection, and that I would suggest you consider taking the herb echinacea, which, if you read the literature, is very, very confidently prescribed for that level of infection, particularly as a gentle, ongoing enhancer of the body's own response. Have a look at that. I put all my patients with this history at least onto echinacea. At the same time, don't overlook the potential of what are called bioflavonoids. Two in particular. One of them is called rutin, R-U-T-I-N.
Yes.
And the other one is called quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N.
Right.
Now, that's a good little combination. And you should see in the prescribing of that some reduction in the swelling that usually accompanies even a dormant cellulitis. But that I would see as a useful potential, and I use the term potential prophylactic device, and as far as I'm aware, is harmless. I can't see how it could clash with anything you're taking, but you owe it to your doctor to tell him you've had a talk with me. Whether he respects that or not, I don't care. But
mention
my suggestion. But in the meantime, you do the hard work, get on the net, and you'll be overwhelmed with the information. Certainly on the potent medicinal herb used for those sorts of infections, echinacea, and the role of the bioflavonoids in promoting improvement, particularly in the lymphatic circulation to the peripheries.
Thanks for your call, Greg. Really appreciate it. Good luck with it all. Dennis, we've got a couple of minutes, so do you want to just quickly touch on ginseng?
In a couple of minutes. In a couple of minutes.
We can do it again next week, but if you want to talk a little bit briefly about it.
All I would say is that in the scheme of things, I think the herb Panax ginseng, sometimes known as Korean ginseng, has proven itself over centuries by its historic continued use by North Asian people particularly as what you might call a system tonic, and that is the best way of looking at it. It is a non-specific enhancer of all aspects of body functioning. In the old term, it would be referred to as a system tonic. We don't use the term tonic these days. My mother was raised and pharmacies knew about tonic preparations, but these days it's not respectable to use the term tonic. Ginseng, as far as I'm concerned, is the most well-proven tonic preparations to non-specifically support the body, particularly in its ageing process. That's not a good rendition on it, but it's a start.
And why is it famous?
It's famous because for over 2,000 years, maybe 3,000 years, it has been used by one continuous culture, the Confucian culture, Chinese culture, as particularly for that purpose, to maintain general health, to fight against infection, and to maintain stamina. And that is why many Chinese athletes have stunned the world over the years by virtue of their performance. Panax ginseng, Korean ginseng, I've referred to, and I've got no problem in hesitating in saying it, that it's a performance-enhancing herb.
Ooh, okay.
And you can read into that what you want, and you'll find evidence to support all aspects of it, particularly, I would say, in the reference of males. But it's not just a male herb. It is a male and female herb, which, if used sensibly, can be the best tonic the body can use, in my opinion.
Okay, so if yes. Is that, I don't know, if is that a controversial subject?
No, look, that's less controversial. I probably won't do this program again.
We'll hopefully see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.